Sarcastic Voyage has embarked on a modest undertaking to chronicle the entirety of human history in sketch form. Join us as we uncover the mysteries of the past in our ongoing feature, which we call History. It's not as good as it used to be. On November 23rd, 1963, a monumental event occurred which would inexorably change the shape of the 20th century. For it was on that day that the cult science fiction series Doctor Who premiered on the BBC. And one day earlier, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. To learn more about this terrible tragedy, we spoke with a number of leading Kennedy assassinationologists to hear the prevailing theories on what happened that fateful day in Dealey Plaza. But if you'd rather learn more about Doctor Who, we recommend the Drunken Time Travel Podcast, available on iTunes and at drunkentimetravel.com. Adele Cosine Smythe presents our first theory.
What most lay people fail to realize is that the Kennedy assassination isn't about the identity of the shooter or shooters or who had a motive to kill the president. It's a simple matter of trigonometry. Were the three bullets found in Kennedy's vehicle fired from trajectories consistent with Oswald's position in the book depository? If we begin by applying Hero's formula, which we use when the lengths of all three sides of a triangle are known, we can calculate the semi-perimeter of the plane figure formed by the cotangent of the projectile. This is, of course, assuming that the bullets in question were frangible bullets, but I mean, to assume otherwise would be a preposterous fact.
Well, I mean, we here at the university have double and triple checked Adele's numbers, and while they don't, strictly speaking, make sense to us, they are definitely numbers. Of this we can be, like, 80% certain.
But if the bullet struck Governor Connolly along the oblique asymptote, we can obviously rule out a second gunman because the inverse second must be greater than or equal to 60 degrees, taking into account the arsec of what must be, by definition, an undefined range of imaginary numbers.
Of course, we in the mushroom physics community have heard all about the so-called quadrantal angle theory. But what it fails to take into account is the quantum superposition of Umbrella Man on Elm Street. And no theory on the JFK assassination can leave out Umbrella Man. He's an essential component of the narrative.
Naturally, any kind of periodic motion can be modeled using a sinusoid. That's simple harmonic motion, and that's why X equals 10. Because X always equals 10. Are you gonna tell me that the Romans didn't know what they were talking about?
Few modern figures have done more to raise the important questions of the assassination than Academy Award-winning director Oliver Stone, who presents us with our second theory.
As anyone who's seen my seminal film JFK knows, the president was a target of an elaborate conspiracy involving many of the usual suspects, but also the seedy homosexual underworld in both Dallas and New Orleans. I'm sure I made that quite clear in my film. Didn't I? You think maybe I didn't make it clear enough? Should I be working on a more explicit director's cut that emphasizes the butt stuff? Because I'll do it. You can't stop me. I'll make Blade Runner look like a singular vision.
Actors Tommy Lee Jones and Joe Pesci.
I'm pretty sure Oliver just made that movie to make us kiss in front of Kevin Bacon and Gary Oldman.
I would have kissed any of those gentlemen, regardless of the project. Why, I'd kiss them in any warehouse, farmhouse, henhouse, outhouse, or doghouse. They're all lovely men, especially Joe here.
Oh, I'm lovely? Lovely how? How am I lovely? Oh, thanks, Tom.
Theory number three comes from Professor Sonia Papasfritas from the University of Tordovia. There, she serves as political science chair, table, and table extension that you take out at Thanksgiving.
The similarities between Presidents Kennedy and Lincoln are too numerous to ignore. For instance, if you count the syllables in Abraham Lincoln, you get 5. If you count 5 syllables into JFK's full name, you get John Fitzgerald Ken. Where's the Eddie? His brother Teddy, of course, who famously drove a car off a pier and into the icy waters of Poocha Pond in 1969. John Wilkes Booth, whose doppelganger, John Wilkes Table for Four, was arrested in his place in 1865. And that's why I believe Booth was the real killer of John Fitzgerald Kent.
Hey, Sonia, sorry to interrupt, but do you mind if the Mushroom Physics Department borrows your table extension?
Of course. It's always Thanksgiving somewhere.
Our next theory comes from late-night conspiracy radio host Aaron Fawcett. Oh, this should be good.
I've read all 889 pages of the Warren Commission's report, and there's only one logical conclusion as far as I'm concerned. Lee Harvey Oswald, acting alone, fired 3 shots at the president's motorcade from the 6th floor of the Texas Book Depository. Obviously.
Well, that was disappointing. Here's Jimbus Hatstorm with theory number 5.
You gotta understand, this country was at a turning point in 1963. Like soup night at the cafeteria for one bold man. The post office rolled out a zip code system later that year, which was a real wood stove and a log cabin, I tell you what. But perhaps a more significant stone in the road to impersonal techno-oligarchy was Ma Bell phasing out the rotary phone in favor of the touch tone. For a solid hour after the assassination, all the phones in D.C. went out. Phones? You think that's a coincidence? That's about as likely as a rebel whistling New York, New York. No, the phone company needed JFK dead. And who better to orchestrate the kill than the president's successor, Lyndon Baines Johnson himself? He had his very own taping system in the White House years before Nixon. And the tapes do not lie.
Listen, you can scoff all you want, Senator, but I'm telling you, I lift my beagles straight up by their ears. They love it. In fact, I'll do it right now. Hang on. Now you tell me that's not a happy dog. You're goddamn right. Oh, and that other thing? Yeah, Lady Bird owns Bell. We'll take care of it.
You see, clear as a glob of mayonnaise in the sun. Lady Bird owns Bell. Bell Telephone. Phone company.
I think he meant Bell Helicopter, boss.
God dang it, Jorgos, you gotta contradict me right in front of these people like some...
Like a prairie dog ducking down a hole?
Yeah, exactly like that. You just move the pieces around the board.
Theory 6 comes to us via Lulubelle St. Chive, a former record store clerk and current juggalette.
So it's 2001, right? The ICP had yet to drop the bomb that was the Wraith. But they wasn't above helping a brother called Robbie Van Winkle, right? You might know my man better as Vanilla Ice. By 01, Ice was struggling for a little street cred, and somehow he managed to snag Chuck D of Public Enemy to help him spit the truth on one of his tracks. Only this was more than spit. Those motherfuckers made a truth lawn sprinkler, yo!
What you gonna do?
That was Elvis Killed Kennedy by Vanilla Ice, featuring Chuck D. This is a song that actually exists. No kidding.
Astoundingly, there appears to be some merit to this Elvis theory. Kennedy dies, and his political rival, Richard Nixon, gets to take credit for landing us on the moon. Why else would President Nixon invite the King to the White House in 1970 except to thank him? I mean, it's not like they made out or anything. I wish they had made out.
Our final theory originates with forensic druid Susan Leyenscherer.
The one detail that everyone overlooks, even the people who coined the phrase, is right there in the Warren Report. Magic bullet. It is my firm and true belief that President Kennedy was assassinated with a literal magic bullet forged by sorcerers who were most likely elves. The bullet was made of a thaumaturgically sound metal unknown to muggles and their science, almost certainly coaxed from deep beneath the earth by expert dwarf miners, of course. The sad irony of it all is that the president could have protected himself if his armor class had only been 1 or 2 points higher. A simple suit of chainmail would have fit comfortably under his business suit, and no one would have been the wiser.
So what really happened that fateful day in Dallas? Which of these highly disparate and often contradictory theories is correct? We've brought in the one person who can provide expert eyewitness corroboration required to close this case once and for all. The ghost of President John F. Kennedy himself. Mr. President.
Having heard the theories presented today, I can say with authority that none of them comes close to the actual circumstances of my death. My immortal spirit is therefore doomed to continue walking the earth until such time as this unfinished mortal business is finally resolved.
Oh, that's gotta be a disappointment, Mr. President. And for our contestants as well. Perhaps spiritual closure will come someday for our 35th chief executive. But today is clearly not that day. Join us next time for History. It's not as good as it used to be. Good night.